Welcome to Truman's Matrix. A podcast built around the craziest headlines around the world. A production of Digging Deeper Media, owned by Hale Multimedia. Where you don't know who's watching who, or who's controlling you.
All right. Truman's Matrix. Preparing for Texan?
Well, you do have on the screen here, most likely to secede, not succeed. Well, hopefully succeed.
Hopefully succeed as well, yes.
Secede. So tell us, what does that word mean?
Secede.
To leave the Union.
Yes.
So, about 15 years ago, we sensed some things getting kind of shaky across these United States of America. And we started looking into moving from our great state of Nebraska. We didn't only do that because of the different things happening around the country, but we did it because we're expanding our business.
Yeah.
So we moved our business down to Texas because as we were looking around, we started thinking about things. We could move to any state we wanted.
Yeah.
We wanted to get warmer.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of left us with the South and in the more conservative states. So it kind of limited things. But then we looked at, wait, let's look at some history. The history of Texas tells us that it was once its own country.
Yes.
And has a constitution that is set up in a way that we could take an exit.
Yeah.
So let's get into this article that you put together for us several weeks ago. We had so many different things going on, like the solar eclipse and all this other stuff happening. So we decided to save this one for you for tonight.
Yes.
Tonight, it's what's all this talk about Texit?
Well, Texit is the term used to refer to Texas exiting the Union and becoming an independent, self-governing nation. Texit is not Texas independence. Rather, it is the process that gets Texas to independence. It means that Texans determine our own laws and not 2.5 million unelected bureaucrats in Washington.
Unelected bureaucrats. Mm-hmm. Now, what the heck? It means that we get a government that begins and ends at the borders of Texas. It means to end the fight sucking around $103 to $160 billion per year siphoned from the pockets of Texas taxpayers.
Yep.
That's what it means. Stop that crap.
Yep.
Most importantly, it means that for the first time in our lives, we control our own destiny.
Yeah.
Ooh, this sounds serious.
Well, and one of the reasons is because of the border. That's one of the main reasons.
It's all about the border. I had pulled a clip off of one of Tom's videos today. You saw that?
Yep.
And I don't know where it saved that, but I know that we started right at the talk about the border.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Imaginary lines for no other reason than to win a war until somebody dies.
Right.
So what do we have here? Texas Nationalist Movement? Here we go.
Yes. So there's actually a movement called Texit, and they are working on the steps to get to that, right?
Mm-hmm. Dana, hold on. Before you... I was just curious, in your report, do you happen to have the information about how the governor had already been talking to the other countries?
Oh.
Do you have that in there?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right.
We can talk about that.
I'll go ahead and reveal that in the last few months, Governor Abbott from the state of Texas has actually met with heads of other countries, like France and others. To make agreements that if we need to trade with each other, we could. Somebody said there's some law against that the states can't negotiate.
Directly.
Yeah, but that's on behalf of the United States. We're not doing it on behalf of the United States.
True.
We're doing it on behalf of Texas.
Yes.
We're...
Well, and we are a republic.
Right, it's not...
So we are a group of nations. Or supposedly.
Technically,
that's how
yes.
It was put together initially.
Sovereign states.
Yes, in the union.
Yes.
So the border situation has revealed the truth to many Texans that we're on the fence. Mm-hmm. The only way to fix it is becoming a self-governing, independent nation.
So do you have the video for this guy over there?
Yes.
In our, all right, let's, instead of watching it on Twitter, we'll go ahead and watch it in the whole screen here.
Yes.
Look, it's been clear. I mean, you know, we've seen the growth of support for Texas in polling over the past several years. And so that's not a new phenomenon. But, you know, the Biden administration's handling of the border, specifically what it's doing on the border, I think what it has essentially done is shifted a lot of people that may have been undecided on the issue or even to a certain degree sympathetic with its aims or but against Texas being an independent nation. I think it's 100% moved the needle for those people squarely into the Texit or pro-Texit category. And the reason is simple. Texans are coming to grips with the realization that if we ever want a sane and sensible immigration policy and a secure border, then we're going to have to do it as a self-governing independent nation, just like 200 other countries around the world. Well, look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the 10th Amendment to the Constitution states the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. What are the powers delegated to the federal government? Aha!
Do you know?
How many times have we said this before?
Right?
Yep, go ahead.
Only the federal government can coin money, regulate the mail, declare war, or conduct foreign affairs.
Now, that's an interesting take on things because when my reading of the Constitution, I see two things, and they're kind of grouped together here, and I'm not disputing it, but the mm-hmm. two things that the Constitution says, unless I'm completely forgetting my history, I remember in 2009 when we helped form the Tea Party, it was two things: run our currency and defend our borders.
Yeah. Right. Very true.
It's the same thing, right?
And I think the mail would be better off if it wasn't.
Let's just say...
And governmental anyway.
Now, didn't they take that away? There are some post offices that are not federal.
Hmm.
They're run just by
Well, the big shipping... The shipping contractors, of course.
They're contractors, yeah.
Right.
They're just contractors.
Yeah. Well, any other decision or service is supposed to be left with the states.
Hmm.
But our federal government has slowly been encroaching into states' rights for decades.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And DC Drano posted this Twitter post that just says, hundreds of illegal aliens overwhelm Texas troops in El Paso and storm the border.
Mm-hmm.
Americans are sick and tired of seeing the invasion.
Oh, this is this same video mm-hmm. that every... Now, I just want to make a statement here that we actually have seen video that has shown scenes like this in one lightly fenced area, and then you roll down the road 3/4 of a mile, and it's completely open fence, and it's just like anybody could just walk through it if they just wanted to go 3/4 of a mile down the road.
Yeah.
So this is like a scene setup. Plus, if you watch this video, if you go ahead and find this on Twitter, watch this video. Are you going to go ahead and play it in there?
I can go ahead and play it in it, yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Play it in there. And at the very end of this, I want you to watch this, that if this is the same one I saw at the very end, see, they're showing the fence. You can see those black marks coming across the screen.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually an iron fence. So they're going to get through this little flimsy setup scene here. And look at the guys. They're not worried. And then they get through here, and they go, oh, get out of here. You can't get here. And then they get out of the way, and they what? Come to this? And then how are they going to get past that now?
Yeah.
You see, that's so silly. It was that original. If you don't watch the entire scene, then you think that they just busted through.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder on a lot of other scenes I've seen like that. Like the Travis Scott concert.
Oh.
There was a scene like that at the gate.
Yeah.
Where everybody was just like, oh, and J6.
Well, and you know, it is difficult to get the whole picture with any video because you're always focused in on something specific.
Right. This was really good that they continued to the end there. So anyway,
yes.
You saw it right here on Truman's Matrix, folks. This is it real or is it a setup? Or are we all living in the Matrix? Is this the Truman Show? What's going on? But we do know this. We went to the polls last month.
We did.
A couple months ago, last month, whatever it was. Seems like time's flying already.
Yep.
And in those polls, you and I both witnessed some very interesting questions.
Yeah, the ballot included several propositions that alluded to the possibility of secession.
Oh, it didn't allude to it. I mean, it wasn't beating around the bush.
Yeah. It definitely showed the frustration of the state, though, federal government's resistance in border control.
Mm-hmm. So, Proposition 1? Oh, well, there's other things, too. They did the property tax thing. So, I've talked to the city attorney about that here. But anyway, Texas should eliminate all property taxes without increasing Texans' overall tax burden. That's the key.
Right.
You know, when I talked to the attorney, he said that it is, you can't do it. You have to have one or the other. If you're going to lower the tax burden somewhere, you're going to raise the tax burden somewhere else. So, they're going to have to figure out some sort of budget cutting plan or whatever that's going to make that work. But that was proposition number one.
Right. Proposition number two was Texas should create a border protection unit and deploy additional state law enforcement and military forces to seal the border, to use physical force to prevent illegal entry and trafficking. Trafficking. They specify
and
that.
Trafficking. Mm-hmm.
And to deport illegal aliens to Mexico or to their nations of origin, because it's not just Mexicans, people.
Right. No, not even really.
Right.
Really, tell you the truth.
Well, most Mexicans probably want to stay in Mexico at this point.
Yeah, they're like, come on over. Our place is better. Proposition number three, the Texas legislature should require the use of E-Verify by all employers in Texas to protect jobs for legal workers by preventing the hiring of illegal individuals.
And you know, they used to have E-Verify when we first went into the workforce.
Yeah.
And I remember...
I don't remember that, but I'm going to agree
I remember that when I was going to college in Kearney, that the Lexington plant got shut down because they had...
Oh,
remember that?
Yeah. No, I don't remember the Lexington plant.
You were out of... Yeah.
Yes, but I do remember another packing plant being shut down. It was in two different places. One in Nebraska and one in Colorado because of illegal workers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then they just kind of moved E-Verify to the side, you know.
Yeah, I think that was Obama years that they just decided to give that up or somewhere between... And Bush was no better. So, I mean, as long as this is Truman's Matrix, this is kind of our political segment where we talk about a little bit of anything and most of it's corruption. And so if you're talking about corruption, you have to involve politics.
True.
And Bush is no better. And it could have been where it started there. What was four?
Four, the Texas legislature should end all subsidies and public services, including in-state college tuition and enrollment in public schools for illegal aliens.
You know, the no-brainers just really get people, you know?
Yeah.
Like, duh, what?
No subsidies.
It isn't already illegal? It isn't already illegal for people who are illegal to get something from the government? Like, yeah, I got approved. You're illegal. That's okay. But if you... Never mind.
Sorry. Yeah. Yes. Subsidies. Yeah.
Texas urges the U.S. Congress not to grant any form of amnesty or pathway to legalization. No amnesty. Do you remember in the original, the 2016 election with Trump?
Yeah.
Amnesty was when all the Republicans were lined up there and it was such a big split down with amnesty. And they were walking on eggshells about amnesty. Nobody wanted to say that there was no amnesty. Everybody wanted to say, everybody's going to have a path. Everybody's going to have a path to citizenship. BS. It's time to throw the hammer down.
Right.
Bring the hammer down. If you're illegal to start with, you don't get a chance. Go back out. Come back in the right way. But you got to wait longer than the rest of the people who didn't break the law already.
Right. Those people who are doing it the right way, who are following the rules.
Thank you, folks. Thank you, friends. We have many friends. Very señor, señoritas. Thank you very much. Muchas gracias. We love our friends. Yes, and our friends from Germany, our friends from Mexico, our friends from India, our friends from Vietnam.
Yes.
Our friends who came here legally, mm-hmm. went through the processes, the and agonizing it's hard. Processes.
It's not easy.
Thank you.
Yep.
We're fighting for you.
And Republican Proposition number 6. The Texas legislature should prohibit the deployment of Texas National Guard to a foreign conflict unless Congress first formally declares war.
See, this was the rule all along, and why do we have to write a proposition for this?
Right.
I'm telling you, folks, it's already the law that you can't send troops unless there's a damn war. War is only declared by Congress. And since Obama said we're going to draw the red line in the sand with Syria in 2009, when he said that,
mm-hmm.
and then they did things anyway, and we didn't fight back. He fired the shot over the bow or whatever.
Right.
That was an act of war. And then all of a sudden, we had a UN peacekeeping force over there, and then they started the Arab Coalition, or the Arab Coalition, the Arab Spring. And before you knew it, we were overthrowing governments left and right over there, getting yep. overly involved.
And sending...
And there was no war actually ever declared. Do you
right.
remember a war? There was never a war with Syria. There's never a war with Iran. There was never a war, but we were always over there.
Yeah.
Fighting with them,
yep.
not necessarily against them. We were all mixed in together, having one big hookah party.
Hookah party. Well, when I wrote this, it was last week. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, Glenn Beck interviewed Ken Paxton, Texas Attorney General,
so
about the invasion.
Yeah, about a month and a half ago now.
Yeah. So,
oh, are we going to watch Ken?
We're going to watch this interview.
Yeah, yes. I don't really like him, but he's got some good information. Here we go.
Yeah.
Let's listen. We're going to listen to this video from Ken.
The Attorney General from the great state of Texas. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Pretty crazy stuff going on right now, as usual.
I know. Thank you for joining us. I know you're getting ready for your argument with the appellate court today. Can you tell me what happened? Yesterday, the Supreme Court said Texas can begin arresting. And then I get up this morning and the appellate court says, no, not so fast.
Well, this is one of the more confusing and maybe inexplicable things I've witnessed in the court. So it started off in district court with the Biden administration and a little group called the ACLU sued us saying that SB4 was unconstitutional. We didn't have the right to expel anybody from the country, no matter how bad they were. So the judge where they filed the lawsuit put an injunction on our law so it couldn't go into effect on March 4th, the date it was supposed to go into effect. We appealed that. A 3-judge panel ruled in our favor. We got the stay lifted, but they put what's called an administrative stay on it to give the Supreme Court a chance to review it. It goes up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court says no, fine, 6-0, it can go into effect. And so we're good. We're happy. Within hours, we are notified by a new panel of the Supreme Court. Priscilla Owen is, a Bush appointee. And then we have a liberal judge appointed by one of the Democrats, and we had Andy Oldham, who ruled in our favor. So we lost 2-1. They put another stay back in, but then they ordered us to have a hearing within less than 12 hours from finding out. So actually, my guy is arguing by Zoom right now at the court in New Orleans, the Fifth Circuit, and that 3-judge panel. So it's a really odd argument because they – removed the stay, but then they said that's what the argument's about. So it's almost like they've already decided, but they still want us to argue the case. I don't know. I've never
Why?
Seen like it. I don't understand it. It's bizarre.
Yeah, I was talking to Mike Lee today, and he said, stays are usually to stay from harm. What we have going on here is a whole lot of harm. We have crime. We have killers. We have just an invasion of our border, and it should be that the court should say, no, let them arrest until we look at everything. Instead, the harm that is being perceived, I guess, by this court is to the illegal alien.
Yes, to the illegal alien and to the Biden administration's partnership with the cartels. That's the harm. We are harming the cartel relationship. And that's, I don't know how else to put it. If the court defends this, if they block us from enforcing legitimate past law by the legislature signed by the governor, then they are saying We want to protect any harm that might come to the illegal immigrants and to the Biden administration's work with the cartels. That's the reality where we're at now.
So what is your guy arguing? I wish we could listen in.
He's arguing exactly what you're saying, that there's no harm, and let this law stay in effect. Let us argue the merits of the case, and you let us have the opportunity to uphold and defend a purposely enacted law by the Texas legislature. The people.
So when is this going to be decided? I mean, I know the stay is for today, the trial. I guess they would announce something within a couple of days on the stay, but
I think
what about the full case?
I mean, they've already removed the stay. So, I mean, the administrative stay of the stay. It's so confusing. Cause there was a stay in place, and then they had an administrative stay of the stay. That's why it's so hard to explain. What they would do is I think they're going to rule very quickly, because look how fast they went. The Supreme Court, gave us the victory yesterday afternoon, and within an hour or two, the Fifth Circuit, Priscilla Owen and this other judge said, no, you can't, this law can't stay in effect. We're going to let the stay go back into effect that the original judge put in place. And now you have to argue this tomorrow at 10 in the morning, which I've never had an argument turn around that fast on something so significant, but even on something minor. I mean, it's just, that's what's so strange about this. That's part of it. And it's also strange that the Fifth Circuit would sort of step past the Supreme Court and say, well, we're gonna stop this from going into effect. And it's despite the fact that exactly what you said, the harm is to Texas. There is no harm to I will acknowledge harm to the cartels. I will acknowledge that they are being harmed and that they're able to get people in here. It is true. We are harming the cartels.
Right.
So
right.
That's what we're trying to
harm to the drug industry, harm to the fentanyl pushers, harm to the human traffickers. Yeah. So yes.
Venezuela. I will acknowledge that in public, in court, anywhere, we are harming them.
Yes. So that was the other question, and you just touched on it. How does a lower court usurp the Supreme Court?
So the Supreme Court just put it back down to the Fifth Circuit and said, we're not going to undo the administrative stay of the stay. And so they left our law in place, but the Fifth Circuit still has control of the case right now because it's back down with them, and they can rule however they want, and they can protect, if they want to protect the cartels, they can protect the cartels. It's within their power to do that.
Another thing that happened overnight, and this is the first thing I was worried about. I saw this late last night. And then I saw, we don't have to worry about that as much as we do maybe people inside our own country. The president of Mexico said Texas isn't going to return anybody to the border of Mexico or fly them into Mexico, which made me think of the 18,000 people that we finally got out of Afghanistan. We were thwarted by the Department of State every day, all the time, several times a day. We had a plane with refugees in the air, and we had a place to land. Another country had already okayed it, and the State Department called and said, we can't vouch for that plane, so I wouldn't allow it to land. And they stopped us from flying any place. Can the governments do that to Texas?
I it seems wrong to me. I mean, look, we also have this case, the Supreme Court just knocked out our, we had an injunction from the Fifth Circuit that stopped the 30,000 people that they're flying in from Venezuela, Nicaragua, Cuba, and Venezuela. So 30,000 a month are being flown in. We're paying for it. The country is paying for this. The Biden administration is paying for it. It's completely illegal. And we had an injunction to stop it. And the Supreme Court, just literally, I think it was a week ago, got rid of our injunction. So now those 30,000 people don't even have to come to the border. We're paying for them to come to the country illegally. I can't make this stuff up.
I'm trying to figure out the distinction between an injunction and a stay. what the difference is there, but
it's language that they use. But
no,
basically, we had an injunction stopping the Biden administration from importing 30,000 people a month from those four countries, the four I mentioned. And the Supreme Court, 6-3, said no. The injunction goes away. Go back and litigate this case. So here we are. We now have 30,000 people a month, and we can't stop it until we get through this case, which is going to take us, you know, who knows how long. So every month, 30,000 more we're paying for this are going all over the country from those four countries I mentioned. And then on top of that, now Texas has an injunction stopping us from enforcing our own laws, protecting our state from illegal immigration. So it's very frustrating because it seems like it's – even when we get rulings that allow us to go back to court, they're the rulings that allow it to take years. And so, you know, a year goes by and another 360,000 people fly across the border. They don't even go to Border Patrol anymore. They just fly in.
Ken, I'm sure you know this because you live in Texas as well. You know, there's an old saying, don't mess with Texas. And, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, whichever way you want to look at it, a lot of Texans mean that. And a lot of Texans are seeing this as an invasion, and they're seeing this out of control government, you know, doing exactly what you just said, and destroying us, intentionally poisoning us. And there's a lot of Texans that I think are, you know, kind of up to here. How do we diffuse this, this back and forth? How do we diffuse it so it just doesn't get to a boiling point that you can't turn down?
Look, I mean, all we can do, I have lawyers, people all the time say, why don't you do more? I'm like, well, the legislature gives me lawyers. They don't give me tanks or anything else. So I just go and fight where I can fight. I think eventually if you have such disdain, if the federal government has such disdain for the law and the Constitution, then eventually the people have a right to say, no, we're not putting up with this anymore. And the Declaration of Independence is clear on that. These rights are inalienable. They're from God. They're not from Joe Biden. They're not from Donald Trump. They are inalienable. And we have a right to those rights. And eventually the people have to find a way to overcome that. And what that is, I don't know. But hopefully the next election will speak to that. And those rights will start being honored as fundamental rights to human beings.
That is one of the most amazing statements I think I've ever heard from a government official. I hope the next election with you, I hope the next election solves these things, because we're in constitutional crisis after constitutional crisis.
We are on our way.
It's got to stop.
We are not there. If we're not there now, we don't have a constitutional republic. If the rule of law and the Constitution can be put aside, set aside, and flipped to mean anything that, you know, a few justices think it means, and they can dishonor fundamental rights that were guaranteed in our Constitution, then now we're back to the Declaration of Independence. And that is a big place to be, as you know.
Yeah. Ken Paxton, God bless you. Thank you. We'll pray for your win today. God bless.
Thank you.
The Attorney General of the great state of Texas. Why do I feel like history? We just lived history.
Well, Glenn, you are a historian, and you told us this years and years and years ago. So it is no surprise that we are talking about this on this podcast, that there may be a possibility that there is going to be or is already a civil war. With that war, in whatever form it comes, it's not going to be in the traditional form. And like the governor, or like Ken Paxton said, the attorney general, he said, what we're going to have to do as an American people is to become inventive and find a way to make that happen. And specifically, what he means is a way to overthrow an out-of-control, tyrannical government.
And I think that's good to close on right there.
It's the message. And that's going to do it for this edition of Truman's Matrix, a podcast built around the craziest headlines around the world, a production of Digging Deeper Media, owned by Hale Multimedia. You can find Digging Deeper with Brian Hale on your favorite podcast network, or visit all of our podcasts under one roof at diggingdeeper.us. And one more thing.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Hey everyone, this is Brian Hale. If you've heard this program before, you know I have been offering website help for many years. In fact, we've been in the business for over 20, and we'd love to help you for anything website related, even if you just need some advice. It's free. Email support@halemultimedia.com or call 940-224-6315. Portfolio, pricing, and contacts all on halemultimedia.com.